Sometimes we make an excuse that we won't change because people around us don't care enough to help us change. Can I tell you something? That's an excuse.
This is Straight Talk.
You're listening to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick. I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor at New Life Community Church in Chicago. And Pastor Mark, your message today is the second half of a message called Stop Waiting Around. You've got us in John chapter 5, and we're seeing how interaction with Jesus, it causes us to come to some challenge, to take action. And there's people listening today who are tuning in. You know, what's your hope for a listener today of this message? What would be the ideal thing that would happen in their heart and in their life because of this message?
Joshua, my desire is to see people realize that whatever condition they're in right now can change, and God wants them to change. And it's not God's fault they're not changing. God is calling them to action. Just like this paralytic, when Jesus encountered him, after 38 years, when Jesus encountered him, he called him to change. He asked him, do you really want to change? Do you want to really get well? And then he gave him an action step. And so I believe that if you're listening right now, you need to erase the assumption, hey, life is just going to change with time. No, it may not. In a decade from now, you may be the same person unless you respond to the change that God is initiating.
That's good. That's good. And it's not just secular change. Hey, there's a lot of good things I can do to bring about change. Jesus was saying, do this if you believe in me. And so the steps we're taking, they're fueled by this faith in Christ.
Yes.
Well, this is the second half of this powerful message called Stop Waiting Around in John chapter 5. If you missed the first half, or you want to hear anything from the entire series that we've titled Moved, go to Pastor Mark Jobe, J-O-B-E, PastorMarkJobe.com. Download the free Straight Talk app. You can listen to all of these messages, share them, read the Bible, find more resources to help you grow in God. That's our passion. That's our prayer today. Let's get right into the Word.
Finally, when Jesus speaks to this lame man, this paralytic man, who's been there for 38 years, he says to him, do you really want to go? Well, people are expecting a yes or no answer. The man looks up at Jesus and he says, sir, I have no one to help me in the pool when the water's stirred. And while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. How many of you know sometimes we're looking for an answer and people give us excuses? You have to admit, some of us are really good at excuses, aren't we? Have you ever met someone that is really good at excuses? I mean, they come up with doozies like, wow, that is some excuse, and they get better. How many teachers do we have in the house here today? How many of you have students that are really good at making excuses of why they weren't present at school? And it's like, wow, really? And now how many grandmothers do you have? Because it feels like it's your fourth grandmother that's died and you've been to her funeral. You're really good at making excuses. All of us have the tendency when we want to change, we look for a way. When we want to stay the same, we typically look for an excuse. I was thinking just not too long ago, I was stopped by a policeman a while back because I was going too fast. And he asked me why I was going too fast, but I have to explain it to you because I have an excuse, a little bit of excuse. So it was on a Sunday morning, and I was driving 55 miles an hour on the expressway, and my wife, who was next to me, says to me, why are you going so slow? And I said, I'm going 55, and there's a state trooper right next to me, and the speed limit is 55. She says, everybody in Chicago knows that there is a 5-mile grace period. Like you could go 5 miles over the speed limit. Don't you know that? And because of my wife's suggestion, I accelerated up to 60. And lo and behold, the lights went on. The cop pulls me over, and I'm thinking, who didn't tell this cop about the 5 mile grace over the speed limit? I mean, he didn't get the memo or what? Everybody in Chicago knows that. And I'm looking over at my wife like, and he stops me and he's very abrupt. He says, sir, can I ask you what possessed you that you would pass a fully marked squad car, speed past them? I wanted to say, I felt like Adam, the woman you gave me, Lord, the woman, it's the woman you gave me. She's the temptress. But I didn't want to sleep on the couch. And so I said, sir, I'm a pastor. I'm on my way to church. I don't want to be late. It was an excuse. I could have probably made it on time. We're good at excuses to get out of something when we don't want to do something. Jesus asked this man, do you want to get well? And he gives this man two excuses. You know how many times I've heard these excuses when people are struggling? The invalid says to Jesus, I have no one to help me. In other words, people don't care about me. If I had people, a better support group around me, I would change. You know how many times I've heard that? I just need more encouragement. If my wife was more supportive, if my brothers would call me up, if my small group leader would care a little bit more, if people would just follow up, if people just cared like this guy was saying, hey, my family's not here for me. And sometimes we make an excuse that we won't change because people around us don't care enough to help us change. Can I tell you something? That's an excuse. The other excuse that he gives is, not only don't I have anybody to help me, but the other excuse that he gives is, he said, while I'm trying to get in the water, someone else goes down ahead of me. In other words, people around me are keeping me from changing. Not only do I not have enough people that care about me to help me change, but other people get in my way of changing. Hey, I want to change, but this guy comes and moves between me and the pool, and he's only been here 10 years. I've been here 38 years, and I told him, hey, you're blocking my way. He doesn't care about me. Everybody's watching out for their own self. Pastor, I would change. I know I drink too much, but my boss is on my tail day and night. He stresses me out. So if my boss weren't on me so much, I could change. Pastor, I know I'm angry. I blow up at my kids and I swear at them and I kick the dog and I throw the cat around. But you know, it's my wife. She just nags at me, is not happy, and she does this. If she would just change her attitude, I would be a different person. It's my wife. The teenager says, hey, I know I feel rebellious, but you know, my parents just don't give me enough freedom. They're always on the rules. They're always on my back. They don't trust me. If they would trust me, I would change. Hey, I used to go to church. Yeah, I was into church for a while. But you know, there was a guy there. He was into the Bible. He was such a hypocrite. Man, he would hallelujah, praise-a-luja on Sunday, and then I'd see him down in the bar on the street. He was such a hypocrite. You know what? You know, he keeps me away from God. I left the church. I left God because this guy, you know, I don't want to be like that. Really? No one cares. I don't have enough people that care, and people get in my way. Can I tell you something? Our biggest obstacle to change is not the people around us, are not the people over us, are not the people beneath us. The greatest obstacle to change is right here. You are your greatest challenge to change. And until you determine to take responsibility for your change, until you say, I am responsible to initiate change or to respond to the change that God wants to do in me, I am responsible for my choices. I am responsible to say yes or no to God. Until I come to grips with that, I will always live like a victim. I will always make excuses. I will stay waiting and waiting and waiting and justify my waiting and excuses year after year until there's a wake up and I come to a realization that I am responsible for the choices that I make. Jesus said to him, do you want to get well? I believe that the paralytic could see where he wanted to go. You know, the blind man, he knew where he wanted to go, but he couldn't see it. But he had the power to get there. Sometimes we have different problems, right? Some of us can't see where we want to go. Although we have the power to get there, we're not clear about where we need to go. The paralytic had another problem. He could see where he wanted to go and could see when he wanted to be there, but he had no power to get himself there. I run into people that are not clear about what their destiny is, who God has called them to be, what they need to be. They're unclear, they're confused. I run into other people that have a clear idea of where they want to be, but can't get there because they feel like they have no power in and of themselves to get to the place where God has called them to be. They feel stuck because they can see it. They see it, but they can't achieve it. When Jesus steps into this paralytic's world, something changes drastically and compellingly. He not only had to decide whether he wanted to change, he had to stop pointing his finger and making excuses about change. And number three, we need to stop waiting around and take a bold step towards our new identity. In verse 8, it says that Jesus said to him, and I love the fact that although this man made excuses, although this man wasn't giving Jesus the answer that he wanted, although this man didn't really understand who Jesus was, Jesus nonetheless speaks into his life and says, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Can I tell you something? There are some of you here that don't really clearly know who God is, yet God has known you since before you were born. There are some of you here that are not even aware of the fact that God has been involved in your life. You call it luck and chance, but yet God has been involved in your journey because he sees you before you've seen him. He's been involved in your story. In your life, he's whispered to you, he's coached you, he's brought people into your life, he's orchestrated circumstances to direct your path and life, and you've gone about life ignorant of the fact that he's there, not even knowing or understanding that he's speaking to you, ignoring the whispers of your soul, not quite understanding what's happening in your life, but he's been involved in your life, leading you, guiding you. Because he has a purpose and a plan and a destiny for your life. He's loved you before you ever loved him. He's known you before you ever knew him.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Stop Waiting Around, which is from our series called Moved. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message and give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. His message, stop waiting around.
This man who does not even know who Jesus is, when he's around Jesus, something wakens inside of him. He's a stranger. He doesn't understand that he's all God and all man. He doesn't understand that he created the heavens and the earth. He doesn't understand the infinity of Jesus, the virgin birth. Doesn't quite understand the complexities of him being Messiah, yet when Jesus says, get up, something stirs inside of him. Something awakens inside of him. He's in the presence of divinity. His soul is being awakened to God. His spirit breathes life. And he does something that he's never been able to do in 38 years. He's tried on his own power and his own flesh. He's attempted, but his legs have been too weak. Suddenly, the command of Jesus goes forth. There's an element of faith, even incomplete faith, as he believes the words of Jesus. And as the word of Jesus meets a faith in this man, the combination of faith and the word of Christ comes together, and suddenly it creates a release of miraculous power. So this man who's been unable to straighten out his legs suddenly feels a surge. Something's happened. He can't explain it. And for the first time in 38 years, this man is not horizontal. This man raises to his feet to the gasp of all the other sick and hurting people as they're amazed that he's able to do something that he'd attempted for years before. It's a divine moment. Jesus says, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Some of you here may not fully understand who Jesus is. You may have trouble with describing or understanding a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You're not fully educated in your theology. Yet the word of God doesn't lose power. When the presence of God is here and he calls you, speaks to you, breathes into your life, and even in your half-baked understanding of who he is, when you say yes to him, there's something miraculous and powerful that's released into your life. I want you to know that. This man gets up. He starts walking around. I know if it was me, I wouldn't just be walking. I would be dancing and prancing and jumping and hollering and screaming and wanting everybody to see. I'd be using these legs. I'd be, hey, saying, look at me, look at me. I'd be shaking the blind man and saying, I'm walking. I'd be getting the lame man, picking him up and saying, hey, look at me. I finally changed. You know, the crazy part of this story is that it tells us Jesus said to him, pick up your mat and walk. And look at verse 9. It says, the day on which this took place was the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath in the Jewish culture, you were not allowed to work. And it says, and so the Jewish leaders said to the man that had been healed, it's the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. What? He had a mat like this. Except he didn't buy it at Target to go to Oak Street Beach. He had a mat like this. And Jesus had said, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And so he was carrying his mat. Think about it. He's jumping, leaping. I'm healed. I can walk. And the people around him say, sir, sir. There's something wrong with this picture. You're not allowed to carry your mat on the Sabbath. Are you kidding me? You're focused on the mat when a miracle has just taken place? You're looking at the mat when this man has just been able to walk after 38 years? How many of you know that sometimes we focus on the mat and miss the miracle? I'm serious. Sometimes we focus on the wrong things. Sometimes it's the little things that keep us from the big things. We look at the mat and we say, hold on, it's the mat. And yet that a miracle has taken place. And sometimes it's the little things that keep us from celebrating the big things. Sometimes it's your past. People get hung up on your past and who you are and who you were. And they don't realize who you become. I had a woman that walked in several years ago. There was a woman that came from a really bad background, prostitution background, and she had been sexually abused and raped when she was a little girl, and she was broken, and she had come to Christ, and she bowed her knee and asked for forgiveness, and she wasn't out on the streets anymore, and she wasn't doing tricks out on the streets. She had left that behind, trying to get a job, getting her life together. And I'll never forget, some lady came up to me and says, you know, this lady over here, she just does not dress appropriately. And I get it. But I said, but if you just knew what she was doing 3 weeks ago. I mean, you're focused on her dress, but you're missing the miracle. I mean, you don't know what God has done in her life. God has changed her. Don't miss the miracle. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. I have people that walk into this place and they say, Pastor, I feel the presence of God. No, they say, Father, I love the Mass. I feel the presence of God. I understand the word. There's something. I come in this place and I start crying and I feel like something is different here, and I understand the word, but I wasn't raised this way. And you know, I look around and I'm thinking, where are your statues? Well, we don't have statues. Well, here's a donation for a statue because I... No, you don't get it. We don't want statues. Let me tell you why we don't want statues. I believe in a living, resurrected Jesus that's alive and well. I don't need a statue to bless. I don't need to touch something. I don't need something to bless me. I don't need to light a candle to it. I have a Jesus that's resurrected, that's alive and well, that's moving. But let me tell you, listen, but some people will focus on the mat and miss the miracle. Do you realize how many lives have changed here? Do you realize how many people have been forgiven and transformed and turned around and washed by the blood of Jesus? And you're focused on the mat when there are miracles that are happening all over this place. Don't miss the miracle. And some of you have been kept from making a decision to follow Jesus because you're so focused on the mat that you're not allowing God to do a miracle in your life. He's alive and well. On Easter Sunday, we celebrate. It's not just a time where you dress up your kids, your little girls in frilly dresses, although it's cute. It's not just a time where the family comes together and goes out to eat, although that's nice. We celebrate one of the greatest events in all of history. We celebrate that Jesus, the God-man, he died, bore our sins, and death and sin was not able to keep him in the grave, because on the third day, Jesus, the Son of God, the living Jesus, was raised from the dead to give you and I access to the Father, the greatest miracle on earth. It symbolized that he's defeated death and sin. He took your sin, your lust, your hatred, your lying, yeah, your murder, your envy, your jealousy, and mine. And he took it upon himself. And he said, they cannot pay for their own. I will take it. The spotless Lamb of God, who is sinless. On the third day, he rose again because he had no sin to keep him down. And the day that he arose, the curtain was split from top to bottom, signifying in the Holy of Holies, signifying that from now on, you and I have access to God the Father through the cleansing power of Jesus the Son. That's what we celebrate, the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. And because Jesus Christ rose again, now I can be raised to a new life in Christ as well. That's what we celebrate.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago. This concludes his message called Stop Waiting Around, which is from our series called Moved, which we also complete today. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for a brand new series. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk Radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk Radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk Radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.